and you are perfect in all of your ways. And we've not come this morning to doubt that, but to proclaim it with great faith and great hope and confidence in you. And so we ask, Lord, that across Aransas County and the homes of those who are watching and in the homes of those who will be viewing this later, Lord, and those who are watching at a great distance, pray, Father, that you would reveal yourself, that you would speak to us this day, that you would take great pleasure in how we are turning to you with our hands held out, open and empty, nothing to offer, but ready to receive from you what you will give. We pray, Lord, on behalf of those who are serving in a variety of capacities, those who are working in grocery stores and restaurants, those who are making deliveries, those who are working in utility operations, trying to keep the water running and the electricity on. Lord, we pray for those on the front lines, the medical profession, who are perhaps putting themselves in harm's way this day. Lord, I pray that you would bless them all, that you would provide for their needs as only you can, that your will would be done in their lives. And Father, we pray that you would push back against this pandemic, that you would speak the word and make it go away. But we ask not for our will, but for your will to be done. And as we open your word today, Lord, speak into our lives. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, good morning, First Baptist Church, and all the people in Aransas County and beyond who are watching us today. It does not feel right without all of you here, but I just want you to know how much we love you, how we miss you, how we're looking forward to being with you again, and we're going to figure out how to go forward together as God's people, and we'll try to communicate regularly and all of that. But this morning, what we've done is gathered to worship. In a moment, I'm going to be reading a passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I've been discouraged this morning as I got up and saw the news that there were over 300,000 cases of this coronavirus worldwide, that in the past 24 hours, there were 793 deaths in Italy alone. I was discouraged to see that in the United States, cases of the virus surged to over 24,000 as testing becomes more widely available. I was also discouraged to see that there were 325 cases in Texas and at least one confirmed case south of us in Nueces County. Now, I mention all of this today not to be the harbinger of bad news, but because I wanted you to know that I am not in denial about the reality of things. I'm not peddling false hope today. I know that we are all going through a difficult times. I know that it feels like the wheels have come off of reality and that Stephen King is writing the script for the year 2020. It's just bizarre, and we do not understand what's going on. But today, I want to encourage you with a different perspective that we can get from Scripture. And I want to ask you, is there anything that is bringing you comfort right now in your life? What is a comfort to you? Now, apart from all the comfort food that you're eating, I know we're all going to need to go for a really long walk when this is over. But what's comforting you? The Apostle Paul had a very hard life. In fact, the impression we get from both 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians is that Paul even looked rough. His lifestyle had its effect on his physical appearance, and some Corinthians doubted that the power that brought Jesus back from the dead could ever work through such a weak apostle whose life always seemed to be at risk. Where was the evidence of God's power in Paul? Because it didn't look like it was present. He was always suffering, and he was always in danger, and he was always on the verge of being arrested and silenced by the authorities. How could God's power be at work within him? In response to this, Paul said that his life simply conformed to the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Appearances can be deceiving, and Jesus' life demonstrates that, just as Paul's did. As Christians, we believe in things such as the reality that comfort can come from great suffering, that life can be found in death, that strength is found in weakness, that wisdom can be gained from what the world would call foolishness. And Paul takes all of this a step further. He indicates that Jesus, Paul himself, and all the Corinthian believers are connected together. So what happens to Paul as he conforms to the death and resurrection of Jesus directly affects all of the Corinthians and all believers everywhere. Now think about that a moment. Is it possible that we are all connected like that by something much stronger than the internet? And if so, how does that impact our community here in Aransas County when we, as believers, conform our lives to the death and resurrection of Jesus? Paul helps us see some possibilities. I'm going to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting with verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so you also share in our comfort. So Paul communicates two very important things. One, that we are comforted, and then secondly, we become comforters. So this morning, let's look at those two different ideas. First of all, Paul tells us that God comforts us in all our troubles. And this is a foundational belief that must be accepted by believers because we are going to build on it. God comforts us in all of our troubles. In verse 3, Paul praises God, who is the Father of Jesus, you know, the one who suffered, died, and then rose again. He praises God, who is the Father of compassion and who is the God of all comfort. Paul praises God as the one who sent our Savior, our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. God is known by his direct actions towards us. And Paul lists his compassion, his mercy, his comfort. Paul recognizes that God consoles those who are distraught. Comfort relates to encouragement, help, and exhortation. So God gives us his comfort. He strengthens weak knees. He sustains sagging spirits. He helps me to face all of the troubles of life with great assurance. In the first part of verse 4, Paul tells us that God is present in our trouble to comfort us. So where is God in the midst of all the things we're enduring? He's right there in our troubles. Paul is clear that trouble will come into every life, even the Christian's life. We live in a world that is tainted by sin. So if that's true and we're all going to endure these hardships, what comfort or what help is there available to us? Well, Paul says God's comfort, God's help is available in every person's life, and it takes many forms. It will always match the suffering that we endure. God can deliver us out of our afflictions, and the Bible says that God can encourage us through or in our afflictions until we reach what he has in store for us on the other side. In verse 5, Paul tells us that the sufferings of Christ will come, so will the comfort of Christ. And the language that Paul uses describes a balance sheet. He uses accounting kind of imagery. On one column, you have the sufferings of Christ, and in the other column, you have the comfort of Christ. And on one column, in the suffering column, Paul is saying he's full up. He's had an abundance, a surplus of suffering. His column is running over. But he then says that in the consolation column, there is also a surplus, a greater one than the suffering column. Jesus was present in Paul's trouble and overflowed his suffering with his comfort. See, God's presence helped Paul endure his hardships so that God could accomplish his purposes in Paul's life and then through Paul's life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18, Paul says this, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Think about that. The comfort that we receive from God, the promise of what we'll receive in eternity on the other side of death, far outweighed, in Paul's mind, all of the hardships we may have to endure as we walk the roads of this world. Dutch theologian Henri Nouwen once compared Paul's attitude towards suffering to pruning a vineyard. So for just a moment, in your mind, picture a vineyard. This vast, beautiful vineyard filled with vines. Pruning those vines means cutting or reshaping and removing those things that might diminish life. The goal is to foster life and productivity. You cut away. When we looked at a pruned vineyard, we can hardly believe it's going to bear fruit in the future. But when the harvest time comes, we realize that pruning enabled the vine to concentrate its energy and produce more grapes than it could have if it remained unpruned. With that same kind of idea, Paul celebrates even the pains of life because he believed that when the harvest time came, the fruit would show that the pruning was not punishment, but actually purified him and helped him produce more of the likeness of Christ for the glory of God, both now and forever. I want to ask you this morning, are you comforted by the possibility that God is present in your difficulties right now, shaping your life to be more like Jesus? Are you turning to God so that you can experience His comfort in your life right now? The second thing I want to mention this morning is that God will use the comfort I receive from Him to comfort others in all their troubles. I become the comforter. So what Paul tells us is that something powerful happens when God comforts me in the midst of my troubles. I go from being comforted to being a comforter. In verse 4, in the second half of verse 4, Paul says, "The comfort I receive from God is the source of the comfort I give to others in their troubles." Paul's experience taught him that God comforts him so that he can be a comfort to others. God's comfort is not intended to stop with us. God always gives a surplus, and God intends it to overflow out of our lives and into the lives of others. It's not given just to make us feel better, but to bolster us for the task of fortifying others to face whatever hardships they have to endure. So God is not making me comfortable. He is making me a comforter. And I have to accept that reality and lift my eyes off of my own existence to something higher, to what God is doing through me and in the world around me. On his own, Paul can't comfort anyone. The comfort is always God's. It merely flows through Paul to others. God's comfort is intended to be used to comfort others in every kind of affliction so that others in turn can comfort us when we are being afflicted. And in that way, we comfort one another with the comfort that God gives to all of us. Paul also tells us that I experience God's comfort by caring for others when I am suffering. See, the tragedies of life may tempt me to retreat into a shell, to shut myself off from others. And when I do that, my suffering becomes meaningless and has no purpose. I become a miserable person when I focus only on myself and my own circumstances. But when I turn my pain into helping others, I experience relief from my own pain at the same time that God uses me to help those who are in need. Paul was an encourager because he had been discouraged. He was a comfort to others because he knew what it was like to feel unbearably crushed and in despair. Paul consoled others because he knew what it was like to be at the end of his rope. The difference is, Paul knew who held the other end of his rope, and that's God. Paul set his hope on God, who delivered Christ Jesus from death and faithfully delivered Paul in the past. Paul knew God would deliver him in the future, even through death itself, so that he could be with God forever. And Paul shared this hope with others. I want you to think about how you can be a source of encouragement to other people at this time. And everybody's talking about ways we can do that. Calling people, texting people, emailing them, seeing if they need anything, and bringing them groceries or goods that they may need at this time. Praying with them and praying for them, and the list goes on. Let me suggest two specific things that you might pray about doing during this time. First, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 60, there's a prophecy that we believe refers to the birth of Jesus Christ. It says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you." See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. So we believe that that prophecy has to do with the coming of Jesus Christ into our world. The birth of Jesus was a sign that God would keep all his ancient promises. It was a time of hope that God would save people from their sin. I'm going to ask you to shine your light out into the darkness of the times in which we live. I'm going to suggest that you put your Christmas lights out to shine this beautiful light into the darkness of our community, starting now until we celebrate Easter. And when people ask why you're putting your Christmas lights out, tell them that your hope is in Christ and that you are looking forward to new life when all of this is over. See, right now it's like we're all in cocoons, but our hope and prayer is that on Easter Sunday morning, we'll get to rise again like butterflies coming out of the cocoon to live a new kind of life together and in this community. And so let your Christmas lights shine now as a sign of hope so that people will know that we as believers have not given up and that we are looking forward to life together when all of this is behind us. Turn the lights on for Aransas County, unless AEP tells us not to, and that's a whole different thing. We'll cross that bridge when we get there, but for now, turn the lights on. Let's be a public witness. The second thing you might actually consider is this. If it happens that the federal government provides a financial relief for Americans in the coming days, you and your family may not need the financial assistance. And if that's the case, I wonder if you would consider donating some or all of your share to the Designated Benevolence Fund right here at First Baptist Church. My plan is for us to partner with local relief agencies and other churches to do what we can to help the people of Aransas County through this difficult time. We want to find those whose lives have been negatively impacted by the coronavirus and the shutdown and all of the layoffs, and help them through this difficult time. Your sacrifice could be a great financial encouragement to those who need hope during this very dark time. Pray about it. The question I want to ask myself is, how am I being a Christ-like source of comfort for others during this time? How am I being a Christ-like source of comfort for others during this time? Today, as I close, I want to invite you to have hope, because the Lord is with you. And I believe He is comforting you in the midst of your troubles. Turn to Him and be comforted. Secondly, I invite you to turn to others and to comfort them as the Lord has comforted you. Use this time to connect with people and allow hope to flow through you to all Aransas County and beyond. Let's pray together. Lord, we give thanks that you are present in our troubles to comfort us with all the power that brought Jesus Christ back from the dead. So, Lord, help us to turn to you and be comforted. I pray, God, that you would draw us closer to you so that we would not turn away in hopelessness and despair. Instead, help us to turn our faces to you as you turn your face to us, shining upon us like the brightness of the dawn. And I pray, Lord, that the comfort we receive from you would be a source of great comfort to others here in Aransas County and beyond. Help us to shine the light of Christ in our lives. Help us to shine light in darkness, believing that the dawn is coming and new life is coming. Strengthen your people. Sustain them for this day. Help them to trust you with tomorrow and each day that follows. May your will be done. We love you. We trust you, Lord Jesus. And we pray all of this in your holy name. Amen.
Good Father, to you are, to you are, to you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. You're a good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways.
Did you press finish?
I was watching.
do is...